Okay, let's have rendezvous welcome for...
All right. Yeah, thanks, bro.
Okay.
So there's supposed to be a special announcement that the security shift changes in 1.5 hours. So if you promise to do something, you better follow through. I just want to play a couple of songs. Now this is written by a friend of mine named Desert Rat. Come gather around your people and you listen to me act. Your doctors and your lawyers and your folks who push the crack. And your folks who push the buttons and your folks who push the mops. Come and listen while I tell you how I really like the cops. I really like the cops. I think they're really cool. I like them in my neighborhood. I like them in my school. I think the cops are wonderful. I think the cops are nice. And I like to have a broken jaw and carry a pack of ice. I really like the cops. I think they're really neat. I like to, they take my face and smash it in the street. And then they take me to a station house and lock me in a room. And I like it when they rip me up the anus with the broom. I really like the cops. Glad that they're around. They hassle me and ticket me for sitting on the ground. I really like the cops. I'd be so sad if they were gone. There's something about a uniform that always turns me on. I really like the cops. They always make me sing. You know my favorite movie is that Taper Rodney King. So I really get pissed off when it's somebody like you. Suggest we should submit the cops to citizens review. Really like the cops. I really like the cops, and don't you too love those boys in the blue? I really like the cops. They always get me high. I hope that I get taken into custody and die. And I hope that every fact that's a coroner's report just shut into a dumpster so it won't get hurt in court. I really like the cops. I really like the cops, and don't you too love both boys? So when I hear you making statements that I think are quite obscene, like how the cops are nasty or like how the cops are mean, think it's about some time that you should get yourself some class and help your local officer by kicking your own ass. So come and gather around your people and you listen to me act. Your doctors and your lawyers and your folks who push the crack and all your folks who push the buttons and your folks who push the mops. Come and listen to me too. I really like the cops. I want to thank Desert Rat for writing that song. I don't know what to do. All right, more love, children, more love.
Smash.
we'll share some Copacabana. Girl, you look sexy in that bottle of lava. Look in your eyes and make my heart palpitate. Girl, you know we're gonna smash the stage. Grab your sink, shawty, man, I'll come back. Gonna paint the town green and black. You and me, girl, we got a date. Girl, you made me wanna smash the stage. Holding hands, skipping down the alley. We pacing forward at the media rally.
Tumbleweed, and if y'all go to the next rendezvous in Minneapolis, I'm sure he'll be there waiting for you.
Yeah!
So I just wanted to do one a cappella, if it's all right if I do one more.
Sure.
Well, I don't need it. It's a cappella, bro. Thanks a lot. Hey, this is this guy plays a mean harp. He loaned me his guitar, so mad props. All right, so Desert Rat wrote this song too, but I wrote like two more verses for this song. And then these really cool girls, I can't remember their names, they were in the jail in Los Angeles for the DNC, and they wrote another verse, the last verse I'll sing. All right, so you can clap if you like. What's England's beyond these borders? Well, the corporations rule. Then they spin their lies on the globalized, and the working man's their tool. And the streams are so polluted that the banks are bleak and bare, and the babies all are born deformed, and the smog is everywhere, and the workers' wages drop 30% in just 1 year. Now the greedy bastards want to bring the same conditions here, and I called upon you, brother, and you asked what I would do, and I told the truth, dear brother, and I spoke these words to you, for I will stand beside your shoulder when the tear gas fills the sky. If a national guardsman shoots me down, I'll be looking him in the eye, and I will wash the pepper from your face, go with you to jail. And if you don't make it through this fight, I swear I'll tear a tail, and I will stay with you in the prison cell. Solidarity! And I will not leave that cursed room till you walk out with me. For we the people fight for freedom, while the cops just fight for pay. And as long as the truth is in our hearts, we're sure to win someday. I will not falter when that iron fist comes out of a velvet glove. I will stand beside you, brother, to defend this land we love. Well, I've heard tales of conquered islands where the sweatshop barons rule, recruiting girls from the Asian slums to be the rich man's tool, and their promised lives of luxury in the golden USA. And they're stranded on these islands with their passports stripped away, and their aging fingers toil and bleed year after grueling year. Now the greedy bastards want to bring same conditions here. So I called upon you, sister, and you asked what I would do, and I told the truth, dear sister, when I spoke these words to you, for I will stand beside your shoulder when the tear gas fills the sky. If a national guardsman shoots me down, I'll be looking him in the eye, and I will wash pepper from your face, go with you to jail. And if you don't make it through this fight, I swear I'll tell your tale, and I will stay with you in the prison cell in solidarity.
And I will not leave that cursed room till you walk out with me. We the people fight for freedom, while the cops just fight for pay. And as long as the truth is in our hearts, we're sure to win someday. I will not falter when that iron fist comes out of the velvet glove. I'll stand beside you, sister, to defend this land we love. And I've watched the ancient forest. Sorry. And I've walked the tall, misty forest, pulsing vein from ancient time. And they'll cut the heart out of a mountain to kill the oldest things alive. And the rainforest dwellers smell of burning, and the dozers are close behind, replaced with plantations and cattle plowing under whatever they find. With the rain comes a raging mudslide, where the land was stripped and sheared. Now the greedy bastards want to bring the same conditions here. And I've walked the oceans rolling, schools of fish running under the tide, working fishermen drowned in their boats, starving on a hook and line, while the industrial fishers haul in their nets, scouring the deep ocean floor. A dolphin and sea turtle snagged in those nets will ride those waves no more. And they cut the heart out of the deep blue sea, increasing every year. Now the greedy bastards want to bring the same conditions here. And I called upon you, brother, and you asked what I would do. And I told the truth, dear brother, and I spoke these words to you. For I will stand beside your shoulder when the tear gas fills the sky. If a national guardsman shoots me down, I'll be looking him in the eye. Now we'll wash the pepper from your face, go with you to jail. And if you don't make it through this fight, I swear I'll tell your tale. We'll stay with you in the prison cell in solidarity. And if you don't make it through this fight, you come out with me, for we the people fight for freedom, while the cops just fight for pay. And as long as the truth is in our hearts, we're sure to win someday. I will not falter. That iron fist comes out of the velvet glove. I will stand beside you, brother, to defend this land we love. Been inside the concrete cell blocks where the fascist sergeants rule, and they privatize and they criminalize, and the inmates are their tool. And they contract out your labor, and they profit from your bail. Now the greedy bastards want to build another million jails. And I called upon you, sister, and you asked what I would do. And I told the truth, dear sister, and I spoke these words to you. For I will stand beside your shoulder when the tear gas fills the sky. If a national guardsman shoots me down, I'll be looking him in the eye. Wash the pepper from your face and go through to jail. And if you don't make it through this fight, I swear I'll tell your tale. I will stay with you in the prison cell, solidarity. I will not leave that cursed room till you walk out with me. For we the people fight for freedom, while the cops just fight for pay. And as long as the truth is in our hearts, we're sure to win someday. We'll not falter when that iron fist comes out of the velvet glove. I will stand beside you, sister, to defend this land we love. I will stand beside you, brother, to defend this land we love. I will stand beside your shoulder to defend this land we love. Yeah!
Awesome. Mookie?
Okay. We're going to give you a rough idea of the incredible talent you're going to be seeing here on this stage this evening. This is the rough order of the stack, so musicians, performers, get yourself boned up. After Mookie, we're going to have Gnome, and then Arlo, and then we're going to launch in with Danny Dullinger, Peg Millett, Daryl Cherney, Ethan, Desert Rat, Revival, Fire Spinners, and Infernal Noise Brigade. So, if you've heard your name, come. Okay. Do we have a Mookie? Give it up for Mookie!
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's nice to be here. And I'm going to do a couple of songs a cappella because singing and playing at the same time isn't something I got together yet. The first song, I have to give a little background on because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense if there's no context. Long time ago, there was this thing called Manifest Destiny, and basically the U.S. government wanted to expand from the East Coast to the West Coast, and the vehicle that they were using were the railroad. And so they had this tremendous government subsidy program, like the biggest fucking land grant in the history of the United States. They gave railroads 1 square mile on either side of the track for building a railroad to through anywhere. And so that's just a little background. So this is a story from the perspective of European descent. I'm going to wrap it up real quick and start singing and then shut up. Who went out there and saw what was happening and didn't agree with it at all. And in the spirit of direct action, this person did some things. And the song is called I've Been Blowing Up the Railroad. And it's just for entertainment purposes only. I'm a freight hopper now, so don't take this shit to heart. All right. And it's like this. Let's see. I've been blowing up the railroad all the live long day. I've been blowing up the railroad just to pass the crime away. Can't you smell the fuse burning, disappearing all the tracks and ties? Can't you smell the fuse burning, disappearing all the lies? Oh! Disappearing all, decimating all their lies. Disappearing all, disappearing all their lies. The government's in bed with the railroad. Government's in the bed, I chant. The government's in bed with the railroad. Talking about a fucked up land grant and singing. The government is a corporate toy. The government's a corporate toy. The government is a corporate toy. Gonna tell every girl and boy. Fuck yeah. And so that was inspired at my very first honorary rendezvous in Colorado 2 years ago. I was just so fucking blown away. Like, that's incredible creative energy of the people around me who were, you know, I just didn't know what to make of it. It was all so damn new, and I fucking hit myself in the bushes.
Just be ready, buddy.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. All right. This next last song is by my friend Toad about the bioregion I wake up in the most, and that's Santa Cruz. So here's a little bit of natural history of the Santa Cruz area, and it goes a little something like this. Just a second. All right. Let's see. Brain fart, speak amongst yourselves.
Get to know your neighbor.
Yeah, get to know your neighbor. Share something.
So, how about those meds?
Let's see. Let's
see. Okay. Question to the stage.
Yeah.
Is the audience about to be filmed? That's a video camera out there.
Just no, in the next part of it. That's permission, so that's why it's pointing down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. All right. Hey, thank you. Okay, so this is by my friend Toad. Like I said, it's about my bioregion, and it's very personal. Long time ago, these hills were filled with trees and lots of critters. Back in that day, the salmon swam the San Lorenzo River. The only folks that came around was acorn-fed abalone, till brave explorers showed with Jesus white bread and bologna. Now old man Cowell was a taker, not a giver. You pay his toll a ride on old man Graham's side of the river. Now one day William said to Henry, listen here to me. I'll cut your throat if you don't let the people ride through free. Now John Davenport cooked bacon in a rusty cast iron skillet. He Set on a rock till a whale swam by and he sent his men to kill it. I guess they couldn't see the pain in them poor creatures' eyes, but they're blind for love of money and the things that money buys. Tell you about a man named William Waddell. He had a beautiful canyon till he tore it all to hell. On day the forest brought that man the justice he'd been missing. A grizzly killed old Willie before he even finished pissing. Now you and me, we couldn't put a price tag on a redwood, but a greedy, stinking bastard who was born without a head could. In half the time it takes September sun to clear the fog, them lumberjacks are turning inch and laughing to a log. Thank you.
No!
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 Is this short enough? How do you hear this? One, two, like that?
Jump, Dom, jump.
Just jump.
Jump.
No, great.
Stand where, stand the way you're going to stand.
Okay, right here. Testing, one, two. Okay, this is, I do poems at these things, and I like to do cover poems as well as my own. And this is explicitly scatological poem by a gentleman named Eric Hole, who was into the scatological poetry crusade long before I was. It's very short. It's called Go Live. It goes, go live for a while in the desert. And when your turds come out like coyotes, full of twigs, bones, and bits of feather, then you might know something. And so he pioneered this, and other people as well. And this is a scatological poem that I write, also very explicitly scatological. And I wrote this for a young woman who has come to our house numerous times doing some excellent road shows on the Headwaters campaign. And last time she was there, she was sitting in her porch looking very unhappy. And I asked her what had happened. And she said she'd been kicked out of Earth First for a month. So I said, well, what did you do to get kicked out of Earth First for a month? And she went ahead and told me the story. She'd broken the nonviolence code. And I said, well, what did you do to break this nonviolence code? And she told me the story, and so I wrote this poem in her honor. It's called Kristen Took a Shit in a Logging Machine. And it goes like this. At an action in the Northwest, as the redwood trees were falling, Kristen listened to her gut and felt Mother Nature calling. This law of nature overruled the Headwaters nonviolence code. So Kristen ducked into a logger's cab and called it her commode. She hoped to thwart the damage this logger's mission should abort, with nothing but her bowels to use as a tactic of last resort. Could this be called strategic? Well, Kristen didn't know. The bottom line is, when you gotta go, you gotta go. So Kristen squatted in the cab and left her stack of poo-poo, then left a note beside it that read, they sure don't make hippies like they used to. Then she slipped into the forest, unrepentant and unseen, when Kristen took a shit in a logging machine. Well, Kristen said she did it, for that's what her conscience demanded. But she had no idea she'd be so severely reprimanded. A well-known and much-loved Earth First organizer, whose name will remain undisclosed in mixed company, came storming down the hillside, and his fury was immense. Who'd have thought the war to save the Earth could get this intense? in a movement where spiking was long ago glorified. A healthy bodily function now leaves people horrified. While they respected Kristen's values, they could not condone her style, and Kristen had to spend a month in total movement exile. There was meeting after meeting to settle this infraction. While Kristen was applauded by yet another faction, who said it was heroic when others said it was obscene that Kristen took a shit in a logging machine. Well, the logger came the next day to a job that he despised. He opened up the cab, and boy, was he surprised. He hated Max Am, hated Hurwitz, and his insides were ready to burst. Then he, too, felt nature calling and knew he had common ground with Earth first. So he unbuttoned his overalls and exposed his hairy ass. Then he squatted there beside it as a statement of solidarity from the working class. Then he left the cab and locked the door and threw away the key, did some other things we will not mention, and called it victory. Then he slipped into the forest, unrepentant and unseen, all because Kristen took a shit in his logging machine. Earth first! We're not just building a movement, we're having one. And this older poem, some took fingerprints off the walls, searched through their backpacks and followed them hiking, stole nails from the shed. They must be for carpentry. Good. Went to each meeting to record what they think, and then stayed around after to record what they drink. Five margaritas, and then Guinness Stout. Could this be the movement they warned me about? They plotted lunatic tactics for saving the earth and lectured why people should never give birth. They hated their government and hated their jobs. They talked about nonviolently castrating Jim Bob. They talked a catastrophe, but laughed when they spoke. Is this a conspiracy, or is it a joke? It's no easy job, but I'm still going to try. An undercover agent with the FBI. But one summer day, I made a horrendous mistake when we were camping and swimming all down by the lake. For as they undressed, their bottoms were bare, for no truer thirster ever wore underwear. And I stood alone in my Fruit of the Loom. My tight white butt huggers had spelled out my doom. They all pointed at me and let out with a cry, "God damn it, he's an agent with the FBI." They held a big meeting to talk it all through and formed 20 affinity groups to decide what to do. I was scared for my life when all hell broke loose. Does someone have some water? Sorry.
Catch.
What?
Not a good idea.
I was scared for my life. Would all hell break loose? Are they gonna surround me and hang up a noose? But Cedar said, "No, we're not gonna hurt you. We've got a new plan, and the plan is to convert you. We'll teach you to love all creatures still wild and help you embrace your inner monkey-wrenching child. will take you to actions and to rendezvous. Earth First is plenty of room for you two. We've got backpackers and kayakers and hunters and vegans, eco-Christians and Buddhists and new woo-woo pagans. There's young punks and old hippies and all types between, most who are general and a few downright mean. We've got camouflaged crusaders and bold road blockaders. There's got to be room for a few infiltrators. Cedar's wisdom engulfed me like a warm, loving ripple, and this once double agent has now become triple. I found a new family, and I'm so fucking glad they became the best friends I could ever have had. And the tables are turned from no normal spy. Now Austin Earth First has infiltrated the FBI. This very brief poem written by an older gentleman named Philip Wright, I believe, about a profound Earth First influence named Edward Abbey that I feel obliged to read because I have a fetish. What's the line I'm supposed to give? A fetish for overeducated, affluent, white male, patriarchal father figures. That's it. God, who came up with that? And why do we print it? Okay, it goes like this. Yes, I remember, Cactus Ed, the anarchist who went with his boots on. Old Freddy thinks he's dead, lying somewhere outside of Tucson. But what a shock for Uncle Sam when the Monkey Wrench Gang does howl and dynamite blows Glen Canyon Dam, freeing the river beneath Lake Powell. And as the light in Phoenix dies, they think they've seen the worst. What rhymes with worst?
Worst.
A clenched fist from the sand will rise as the desert winds howl.
Earth First!
Thank you.
Okay. Good job.
All right, let's hear it for a new talent here at the campfire. Give it up for Arlo.
I'm not that full. Thank you. Thank you, Dennis.
Are you okay? You be the artist, stand here, and I adjust the mic. Oh. It's a new thing. I'm being performer's tough.
Thanks, Dennis.
All right. How'd that work out?
You knocked that other mic stand over.
I see. I knocked the other mic stand. Hello, Earth Firsters. Is anybody out there? Can anybody make some fucking noise? Thank you. Oh, my God, not the campfire man again. Okay. Good evening. This is going to be interesting. I am in Babylon, known as a radical political and social satirist, which means I do stand-up comedy and I ridicule this state, this piece of shit government that we are all residing under temporarily. And so I don't know how what I do in Babylon is going to play here, but I'm going to do it, and we'll see how it goes. So I wish I had a fucking beer instead of some water. But
beer, you lazy bums!
Cheap lazy bums.
But I need a toast to the life of what's behind me and to the fucking death of what is done, what is in front of me.
Use it in the enemy.
All right. And I think the highlight of my week has to be that I can personally now attest that my darkest hunch is indeed confirmed. Gail Norton is completely full of shit. Although, we all realize if it wasn't her, it would just be one of George's other oil-rich barons in there Doesn't matter, really, does it? Oh, we gonna clean up this environment, all right. First thing we gonna do, we gonna move out these stinky animals shitting all over the place, messing everything up. Move in some nice, clean, shiny oil wells. Spruce this place up. I think we need to get rid of George Bush, ladies and gentlemen. And not just, well, let me put it this way. I wish I would have been on one of those hijacked planes. Because I would have been the only one talking sense, especially on that one that was headed to D.C. I would have told all those people to go sit down who rushed the cockpit. Seriously, remember when JFK said, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country? Yeah, I think he was talking about that moment right there. In fact, I would have demanded to steer the last 50 yards in. Come on, we just go over there and bomb them every 7 years. We have to live in this McDonald's, Walmart shithole. No? Okay. All right. I think, ladies and gentlemen, like everybody here, I'm sure, that we need to bring back the Bears. Not just to this place, but I think we need the Bears roaming free in the cities. Because I don't know if you notice this, but there are way too many fucking stupid people roaming the earth today. This was not the case 200 years ago. You know what I mean? And bring back the Bears for the Bears' sake. But bring back the Bears because there are way too many stupid people roaming around, and we need to trim the population. You know what I mean? This explains why many of you have looked at each other and gone, man, a lot of stupid people. And if you haven't noticed that, you might have noticed a lot of people pointing at themselves and looking at you, and that's okay, too. Now, until we can bring the Bears back, it's going to take a little while. You know what I mean? So we need some sort of Bear substitute, some sort of a liaison until we can bring the Bears back, which is why I'm suggesting, despite my anarchist tendencies, that we elect Jack Kevorkian as our next president. I mean, as long as we're talking killing people, which I think we know is the job of any president of any state, right? I mean, as long as we're talking killing, why not go the Kevorkian route? He's got the track record. No? There's a big list of people I think we can do without in this country, ladies and gentlemen, and if Jack Kevorkian was elected president, I think we could be well on our way to a better, juster America. First group we need to get rid of, anybody who puts a sweater on their pet. It's bad enough you got a fucking pet, alright? But it gets cold! Sparky needs a sweater! Ma'am, God has already knitted your dog a sweater. Apparently, your subscription to Dog Weekly ran out. Because these days, they're making them with the sweaters already installed. They just call it fur now. And if you happen to own one of those little wuss, hairless dogs that just stands there and shivers when it gets below 50... All right, that's an animal that needs to be killed. See, that's how it all works. It gets cold and ill-equipped die, and something smarter shows up. That's how we're here. Remember that Ice Age? Dinosaurs, bird. Right? Nobody needed T-Rex a fucking cardigan, and here we are. Keep the sweaters off your fucking pets. All right, we also need to get rid of anybody who puts one of those Honor Student of the Week bumper stickers on the back of their goddamn SUV. Nobody gives a rat's ass. Your retarded kid won the big Ritalin Square Off this week over at Booger Eater Elementary School. All right? What do you want me to do when I see that fucking sticker? Just pull up to you and clap? Oh, good for you! You've taken another free, innocent little spirit and slam-dunked him behind a desk and telling him to quit daydreaming and thinking about this and pay attention and raise his hand so he can take a fucking pee, and he's good at it. Put a bumper sticker on your car that says, hey, today I started making some vocational decisions that allowed me to stay home and fucking educate my child myself instead of letting the state do it. know it's a little long for the bumper, but surely on that SUV you can find room for it. I've seen the bumpers. They're not getting any smaller in the Toyota Sequoia. You're fucking kidding me, right? You're now naming them after everything you're getting rid of to have them. That's fucking beautiful. That's why I call it, remember when Firestone, they had that big scandal and the bad tires and SUVs into the ditches? I called them up, woo, keep making those shitty tires. Thank fucking God. Finally, you're doing something right for the world. Don't fuck, I'll buy the company. I'll keep making the tires. That's why I keep my TV around. I just watch those programs, like those accident programs where the guy's in the speedboat and it starts to tip and it catches that wave and he goes flipping, spreads himself across the lake. I'm fucking cheering. Woo! Woo! One more idiot dead. Thank God. One less tailpipe in my drinking water. Woo! How come I never see that petition, by the way, at the goddamn grocery store? I'll sign that petition. Barbed wire across the lake at the next speedboat race. Where's that fucking petition? Fuck the petition. I'll volunteer for that project. Just let me watch the race. I'll give you 16 hours of hard labor for that one. All right, I don't know where this is going to go, because I really do hate this fucking country that we live in, ladies and gentlemen. And this first part was to kind of get warm you up. I've been to Idaho, sir. I got in a brawl in Kalispell, Montana at the fucking Outlaw Inn. Can you believe that? I got up there and started talking about environmental shit, and they looked at me and decided that they didn't like me, and so I decided to educate them on the finer points of gun control as a new way of life.
Well, that's why you got your ass kicked.
Absolutely. I did not get my ass kicked, sir. The three guys who came out of the crowd who turned it into an official six-on-six brawl helped me out. All right, I want to talk for a second, ladies and gentlemen, about... what do I want to talk about? What's that?
Beer.
No, that's what you want to talk about, apparently, sir. I want to talk about... I want to talk about this war, ladies and gentlemen. That's what I want to talk about. I know. Exactly. I know. How'd you like to be a fucking real estate salesman in the Middle East right now? Can you imagine? Very nice 5-story building here. God damn it. 2-story building. Still very nice. Now a skylight. Fuck me. 1-story building. Again, still the skylight. Now the rock one too. How do you say fix it up? See, that's why a war on terrorism won't work. War is an insane idea, but it's even more insane when the other side isn't playing by war rules. You know what I mean? War works kind of when both sides agree that when things get really rough, they'll go ahead and throw in the towel. But these people that we've elected to terrorize, they're all for throwing in the towel. You know what I mean? It's like trying to play football against people who don't care about touchdowns. They just want to beat your ass for 60 minutes. You might be up 49-0, but you don't have any fucking legs, buddy. You're not playing the same game. You know what I mean? I love the fact that everybody, oh, it's over now. We kicked their ass. We fucked them up. Dude, it's over. Why don't you ask Israel how easy it is to whip up a quick little war on fucking these people? Know what I mean? Because they've been fighting. I think the earth was still cooling. And I don't see it slowing down anytime soon. So I'm just happy the anthrax portion of the terrorism is over. I don't think I've been that scared since... I got to go back to Y2K. What's the total number of casualties? 4 or 5? I don't want to, you know, diminish the epidemic that happened. Please, we lose more than that at the state fair every year. If we're lucky. If we can get the Ferris wheel. My favorite thing about the war, my all-time favorite thing, is that nobody gives a flying fuck, you know what I mean, as long as none of us are dying. That must be a convenient morality to have, that your compassion for other beings relies solely on zip code. Very tremendous fucking highly evolved position anyway. And it's brought home when, God forbid, one of the American kids catches a stray bullet. Oh, what are we doing over there? Some American military have died. Yes, I think that's the job they signed up for, if I'm not mistaken. You know what I mean? Like, it's the military. We're not just paying these people 30 grand for the crappy haircut and to do some push-ups, right? I mean, that is the point, right, of the whole military complex. Oh, I'm done?
No, just keep going. Wrap it up.
Okay. They're giving me the wrap-up sign, so let me see what I want to wrap it up with. Here's what I want to wrap it up with, ladies and gentlemen. This is why I am not just for the abolition of George W. Bush, nor am I for the abolition of the Democratic Party or even the fucking Green Party, but I am an advocate for the abolition of all fucking slavery to this goddamn state. And the final fucking thing that has kicked my ass is the parking ticket meter made. Can you fucking imagine what has happened in our country? My grandfather, right, had a decent job. Not a great job. He had a decent job. And on his decent job, he put three kids through college, paid off a house, two cars in the garage, everybody set. Now, if you want to own so much as a shoebox in this shithole, you better get married, and both of you better get to work, because that's what it's going to take. And on top of that, now we have parking ticket meter maids. I want to be the one to kill these people just so I can watch them grovel for their life. Wouldn't that be sweet? Please don't kill me. I'm only a parking meter maid. I don't want to die. I'm sorry, but you know the rules. Just like when you've started the ticket, you're not allowed to stop. Once I've started the chainsaw, I'm not allowed to stop until your head is in the gutter. See, that's how it's going to work. Don't wreck the chainsaws. We're going to need those for the parking meter maids. We got to go into a recycle economy, and then we'll get to the true greening. So the reason I think that parking meter maids very specifically typify what has happened in this country and why this country deserves and demands to be fucking wrecked is because that ticket that she is riding, first of all, we're supposed to pay taxes. Then on top of the income taxes, sales tax. On top of the sales tax, you have to register that piece of shit car each and every year. Yes, that makes sense, because so much has changed from last year when I was right here at the DMV with the same car with the same fucking paperwork. Yes, I can understand after all the tax I paid, you now need to re-up on the registration this year. In addition to that, we pay for the street, the sidewalk. We pay for the parking meter. I'm done now. I'm off the rocker. We pay for the meter. I pay the fucking salary of the woman who's bringing it to you. I pay for the insurance of the woman.
Okay, thank you. We got a lot of talent here. The sun is going down.
Give it up.
Okay, sorry about that, people, but it had to be done. A quick announcement, the fire spinners are running low on kerosene and lamp oil. It's true. If you have any, put it here. All right.
Much appreciated.
Much appreciated. Okay, now we have, this is the roster, people. It's a little longer off. We have MC Squared. We have Danny Dullinger. We have Peg Millett. We have Daryl Cherney. We have Ethan. We have Desert Rat. We have Revival. We have the Fire Spinners. We have the Infernal Noise Brigade. Jesus Christ! Let's get to it. Bring on MC Square. Give it up.
All right. My name's MC Square, and I'm in a hip-hop group called The Insurrectionists. And I'm going to do some acapella stuff today. All right.
Living in a brave new world, 21st century approaching 1984. Speech is free only if you own the means. So the CEOs are the ones burning books and bonfires at temperatures of 451 degrees Fahrenheit. O'Brien's running blades down your mind splice, but it's never sufficient. So lights that shine too bright are riddled with riddling from a child to achieve the ultimate efficiency of thoughts ever wanted to fail. Strike this ignorance if it's not conformity to Big Brother's smothering omnipresence. Freedom is slavery and war is peace. In this new speak double think propaganda ministry, where love turns to hatred and free minds are a crime. Watch my telescreens screens easily compared to satellites, eyes roving the sky. Rationalized taxation with restrictions on representation, contradiction to emancipation proclamations, separatism, miseducation, opportunism, and globalization all comprise capitalism's doomsday destinations.
All right, I'm going to do like three or four more, just like 1 minute verses.
Shit, yeah.
I want to say what's up to Brando and Walt, who are also in the Insurrectionists.
Hi, it is.
All right. The system's got me locked between a rock and a hard place. I'm trying to scrape beneath the plot base to ignite the spark that starts the prairie fire and sears the concrete jungle that's been racking my mind with gears and wires. The camel pass for Brooke, it's back. I'm the jagged edge of the rich man's lingering lies. I've come to the last straw, so I'm gonna burn down the haystack and find the needle stabbing my eye. Last night, I had a vision of shooting stars, by the thousands illuminating the earth so I could walk across the sandbars. But when I got to the middle of the ocean, the meteors bursted forth with such a force that they summoned tidal waves that raised the grass so high that it knocked the sun from off its course. But then my dreams were filled with a blinding light, and the ocean became a lake. And then the light was replaced by the eternal struggle of two omniscient luminous snakes, devouring the former from head to tail, impaling the last, until it shattered bands of dimension, shifting time, sifting hourglass. Cracks appeared and the sands broke loose, scattered swirling on the wind, but with the contract, they became so compact that they then burst forth again.
Yeah!
Woo!
Woo!
Yeah!
Yeah! You're on fire, baby!
Alright. I got a couple more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or just like a minute or two.
I thought that only April showers brought Mayflowers. So tell me what powers brought the ship hurtling out of the east, spreading the seeds of oppression. Chain lightning never strikes in the same place twice. Still, if you don't learn the lessons of history, you'll forever repeat the session. It could have been that they were thrown in the slots of Plymouth Rocks, but I believe the seeds that got blown out the tree were not physical, but sown of fact. Then when indigenous discovered the pilgrims in the blizzards with their blistered mitts, they taught them the secrets of reaping cyclic harvest. But the American field of forgotten dreams yielded only concrete, stomping out all signs of life beneath them, a green that still grows of the prophets, pulled up to pave the way for the next side of the photos. Thanks for giving of your most precious possessions with such compassionate conceptions, but you're no longer of any worth because you brought home instead of work the theory of parts progression. Now we'll create a national holiday out of your genocide and celebrate the landlord's immaculate deceptions. But neither the sandstorms nor the flooding from the trails of tears could prevent the ship's from setting sail into the east as the fictitious fables of reservation stamps peel to reveal the labels of concentration camps, and chain lightning strikes the African beach. 40 acres and a mule, shit, this great nation won't even give a backyard as compensation for the sacred math equation, black and bars. And 400 years of slavery multiplied by the horrific conditions of the Middle Passage, added to the three-fifths of a human status, equals only a fraction of this country's so-called benevolence subtracted. Can civilization three fractions, single pay slips be credited solely with the matrix of technology, when the final product of market expansion, malignant mimic-riven mansion, is conglomeration to genocide, spitting oblivion from the lips of the congregation combine, founding ecoschism capacity is all hail the wisdom of the Sadducees spread rapidly, and protesters get processed, while the corporate press perpetually speaks of progress savagely.
Yeah! Shit, yeah!
Sitting amongst the stunted stumps of the clear cuts, I witnessed the rarity of a beautiful blue butterfly emerge from the captivity of its cocoon with a withered wing. Wilted from the toasted sunspot to bloom into a vast mosaic of petal perfection, it created a storm thundering on the other side of the world as monarchs turned into martyrs mimic, plummeting into the forgotten expanses of their own reflections. But it's one last wish, the dust floated off its wings into the realms of space, took shape, coalescing into the strands of out of the blue, blue rarity, caressed the sea, and fled the syndicate of the seeming silkworm spoon, so the ocean would rise to the moon, just so it could be woven into that eternal fabric by the name of stage of existence parody. I caught a glimpse of the looking glass, asked myself if it was half empty or half full, came to the conclusion that it was both because of its opposite, as the wheel comes full circle, based on the rotation of B-masons, emerging from the spokes from a tail end of a combustion cloud called composite. And if I were to give a dissertation by the name of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I'd say, remember, if you hail a comet's tail with a solar flare, then I'll let your sore thumb stick out too far, or to distract you from the fact you attach a wit's end to a factory superspring for the purposes of planetary balancing.
But one night I toppled off that super string into a dimension where the shortest distance between two points was no longer a straight line, and witnessed the inception as the pinnacle of the universe crystallized and dropped the singularity into the pools of space-time. You were stranded on the sands of eternity. What would you do? Well, if quantum mechanics holds true, and all particles' positions can be based on a state of passive improbables, could it be vibrations that block the magnification from puzzle perfection unsolvables? Grant would defy the theoretical basis of the pendulum at the seashell to cast a bridge over space and time woven from a tapestry named Deepwell. And if the universe could be likened to the vast expanses of an ocean, I'd rest my case based on the ripple reflections laced to the parallax of one notion. That all form is transient, but transience is the catalyst of form. Build a pyramid from a single pebble, then sit back and watch the storm. Orpheus was overwhelmed with the music he played on his harp, but perhaps that last string that he plucked wasn't the end, but just the start.
Yeah! Okay, that's MC Square. Okay, Wolverine. Danny Dellinger here to play some songs, but I've got a quick announcement before we do. As you know, the sun is going down. So we need to get a crew of people to wander back and grab...
Hey, I just have to move that fire pit there.
Move the fire pit over there. So we can build a fire here and keep on going into the darkness. So...
That's it.
Danny Dellinger.
We want to do that before Danny has to play while you're moving the fire pit. So if we could do it now, that'd be really cool.
Or do it quietly.
You need an announcement?
Nope.
Okay. Just got one. That's perfect, dude. That's great.
Now, this infernal amplification unit will, like, project over a fire pit being built, I think. So you can do both at the same time. Ray! Earth first! Ray! Kick ass!
Okay. Got a quick announcement. Rendezvous merchandise over at the Earth First Tarp. Rendezvous t-shirts, $5. Snatch them up, people.
I got it, dude.